Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver and Auburn University standout, Jairus McIntyre. Are you ready to hear it live from the athletes, celebrities, and fans? Jairus, his co-hosts, and his guests will keep you laughing, thinking, and talking. Now, here's your host, Jairus McIntyre.
What's good, everybody? America, your host, Jairus McIntyre, Keeping It Real. Lovely week. Want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas here. Christmas coming up soon, and won't be back on the next Tuesday, so got to give out my wishes a little early. But with that being said, it's a long, long time till them Auburn Tigers play the Oregon Ducks. It seemed like it won't ever come, so I'm just waiting and counting these days down. Got about three weeks left till the Auburn Tigers head to Glendale to face the Oregon Ducks in the national championship. And I'm just counting these days down, Christmas and New Year's, and then it'll be right around the corner. But today I have a special guest, independent recording artist SK, you know, hailing from Tampa, Florida. Also up in the ATL doing big things, and I'm trying to get on the music scene. What's going on, SK?
What's going on, man? How's everything, Jay? It's been a long time, brother.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Glad I finally got you on here, because I mean, obviously you can relate to the sports thing as well as the music industry, and you're doing big things in the music industry.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I can relate to the sports thing because I'm a phenomenal athlete, all right? So people at home, you know, I am a phenomenal athlete. Whenever y'all want to hit the fields or the courts, I'm right here, all right? You just let me know.
Already, I know that. And I also have another special guest on the line, Mr. Raw Tracks, music producer down here in Tampa, Florida as well, doing big things, you know, drop some beats to some of these local artists down here. He's just trying to spread nationwide. What's going on, Raw Tracks?
What it do, J-Mac? What's up, SK?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, man, you know, me and Raw Track go way back. Was a DB at Tampa Catholic High School with me, and he did his thing, you know, locking down some of the top receivers in the county throughout the state, and I went on to do big things up in college. And now, you know, he's down here in Tampa, Florida doing the music thing, kind of like SK is. So I kind of want to have these two fellas on the show because they kind of relate, because all – as well as being phenomenal athletes, they kind of transform into the music world, and now they're both doing big things in the music world. SK, I kind of want to ask you, how did you get into music? I mean, has that always been a love, or was it just something that came upon you as you got older?
I mean, music has always been a love, man. Going back to, you know, when I was a young kid, man, coming up with, you know, getting boxes of my dad's old albums, you know, records, vinyls, and just listening to them, and just growing up a fan of watching shows, concerts, performances, and just the entertainment value of it. I've always loved how it made me feel, how it made other people feel. So, and then, you know, the writing aspect of it, you know, it's definitely, you know, very, very therapeutic for me, and very, you know, it allows me to release and to, you know, have hopefully other people relate to what I've, you know, what my music is about here. So,
okay,
a lot of fun.
That's real. Not wrong. Raw Tracks, I want to ask you kind of the same question, because I knew growing up we played little league football against each other, and in high school played football with each other. And I didn't even know, honestly, myself, I didn't even really know you was into the music thing until probably a couple years ago, when I, you know, heard around town that you were dropping some of the nice beats for some of the rappers and R&B artists in Tampa, Florida. Has music always been a love for yourself?
Yeah, I've been doing music ever since I was a little kid in Oakhurst. I used to grab all my friends and make everybody do a dance routine and make the music up, make my own verses, my own songs up, have my friends and me dance. And so I've been doing it for a long time.
Okay, that's what's up. Because, yeah, I know you're, into it deep, and you're over in the studio dropping the tracks. And I was surprised myself because I didn't even know that you, because I know obviously you went to school, you graduated in something else, but you didn't graduate in that. So I'm just trying to figure out, how do you know what you're doing? Actually, how do you know what you're doing? You see all those buttons, all those keys and all that stuff, and I'm like, you must have been in this for a long time to kind of know what you were doing, all that stuff, because you walk in there and it's like, hold on, man, what are all these buttons? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just getting books and reading and learning from other producers around town. I've been fortunate to be around be able to go into all the studios in Tampa since I was about 16, 17 years old. So I used to go in other studios and watch other producers and just learn like that and talk myself.
Yeah. Now, SK, I know throughout Tampa, Florida, you were rocking shows throughout clubs in Ybor City and all through Tampa. So, how did you get into that? Did they want you to come to see? Because I know you had a buzz around Tampa, and obviously everybody kind of wanted to book you. They wanted to know where SK was, where he was performing. And I actually went to one of the shows, and you rocked the crowd, and everybody was loving it. So, kind of explain to me how did you get into that? Because I mean, obviously, I know once you have a buzz, that people want to book you for shows, but you were sounding like you were everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the network, man. And with any business aspect, it's about, who you know, not so much what you know. I mean, the what you know comes into play, a lot, but it's the who you know and the network and how, in this thing, I feel like the people that are more business professional, business savvy are going to be the survivors in the long run. People that can write an easy hook and an easy single, they can sell a lot of records and ringtones and all that, but if they don't know the business side of it, then, they're not going to have the longevity of, in the careers of, the people that have been around longer. As far as the shows, man, it's something, like I said, I've loved to do. I've loved performing. My band, The Entourage, is actually still in Tampa. We did over 70 shows in the past year and a half in the South Florida area. And I just felt like, for me to succeed, I needed to kind of get up out that market, come to Atlanta where, most of my family is centered around, get up in this market, get up in this network, because it's a very entertainment-hungry town up here, So, it's been a lot of fun, and just actually I'm in the studio right now. We're mixing down a record that we just cut about a couple weeks ago. I'm really excited about. So if you hear about a bunch of the reverb in the back, it's not my fault, okay?
Okay, that's what's up, man. So, like, you're doing big things up there in ATL. I mean, I know, like you said, that's a big base for the music industry. It seems like there's a lot of...
Absolutely.
There's a lot of artists that come through the ATL, and that was something I was talking to Raw Tracks about. I mean, because obviously he's down here in Tampa doing big things, but I know some of the things that he's doing in the town that he has, if it was somewhere in the market like the ATL, I mean, stuff would explode a lot quicker. Well, Trex, I kind of wanted to ask you, who are some of the artists, or not necessarily artists, some of the producers or artists that kind of inspire you that are in the game, not are doing big things?
Well, I'm a big Dr. Dre fan.
Okay.
I'm a real big Dr. Dre fan. I like all the super producers. Timbaland and... I just like all the super producers. A lot of I'm a super producer. I like big beats, so I don't really like too much simple stuff. So I like the producer that's messing with the big name stars. That's why I try to make myself do the same thing. I try to be the same thing.
Yeah. SK, I want to ask you the same thing. I know you have a different style of music. You mix it up. You do a little R&B. You might do a little rap. I don't know what's the exact type of music that you would call it, because there's so many different titles of music, from pop to rock to rap to R&B. What category would you put yourself in, or is it just a mixture?
We were talking about that the other day. We're kind of it's going to be SK, man. It's going to be kind of the SK brand. It's a hybrid rock, like you said, a lot of pop, a lot of punk involved, as well as, you know, definitely elements from, you know, hip-hop and kind of soul, you know what I mean? But, you know, and it's, again, who I'm inspired by and who I'm not. You know, I grew up a huge hip-hop fan, and then past 3 or 4 years, I really strayed away from it because I feel like, you know, it kind of keeps you in a box when you just strictly do hip-hop, just for me at least. I mean, I'm speaking just personally. A lot of people can find, you know, other elements to really experiment with, but, you know, I've gotten into the indie scene, the indie rock, and, you know, started listening to a lot of different bands and just really spreading my, you know, my ear out for different kinds of music. And then when it all comes back and you formulate your own sound through what you're inspired by, it really... It starts to take its own shape, and I'm really excited about, you know, the series of projects we got coming up for 2011. And I will say this, that, you know, I love Atlanta and I love being up here, man, but the only issue I have here is there's so many daggum Auburn fans, man. I don't know what your people are doing. I figure they need to stay in, you know, Alabama or something, but, man, there's Auburn fans everywhere, bro. I mean, keep the people out of Atlanta.
Well, you know, we got to cross over the border. I mean, we're not too far. The ATL is not too far from Auburn. We're about an hour and a 15, hour and a half away. So, you know, we're all over the world, actually. But Atlanta's pretty close. Atlanta's pretty close. So, you know, we're going to be in Atlanta. We're going to try to take over the ATL and the South Carolinas. And we have a lot even coming down here flocking to Florida as well. So we're all over the country.
Who's that playing quarterback for y'all? Chris Brown?
hey, he is a Chris Brown. He's just 6'6", 250, and probably runs a 4'5". I guess you could say that's Chris Brown. He's a Chris Brown.
I think it's Chris Brown, too. He looks like
He's a Chris Brown lookalike. He just run around like a big old Michael Vick. so we're gonna switch off the music a little bit and kind of talk about these football since we brought up Chris Brown, aka Cam Newton. And from what you guys said, obviously I haven't asked you first, Raw Tracks. I haven't talked to you throughout this lovely Auburn football season, and the Tigers being 13-0 with the best college quarterback in the last I don't know how many years, in my opinion. What would you say about the Auburn Tigers, and what you got to say about Cam Newton?
You know, Auburn is a pretty good team. You know, Cam, in the beginning of the year, I didn't really think he was all that because he was doing a lot of running. But then, as I sat and watched a couple of games at the end, I get to see him throw the football a little bit. And so I'm surprised that he can throw the football a little bit. And I was like, man, what are you going to do in the NFL? Run all day? So now that I see he can throw the ball a little bit, so that made me change my respect about the dude, because I think he can go to the NFL and play.
You mean, he could throw, you said a little bit, he could actually throw the ball a lot. SK. SK, well, give me your opinion on Cam Newton and the Auburn Tigers. I know you follow, and you're up there in Atlanta. Like you said, we have those fans everywhere in the ATL.
I have to hear about Cam Newton everywhere I go. So with that being said, I will say he is an incredible athlete and has really impressed me just being in by far the toughest conference in America, the SEC. You know, just how he's managed games, how he's taken over games, and how much fun he looks like he's having. I mean, I really give it to him. You know, he's by far the Heisman winner, best player in America, and I think, you know, they're going to route Oregon because just with, you know, that speed, that defensive speed, that toughness the SEC provides and comes with, man, I don't think any Pac-10 team will be able to handle that. So it's going to be a good game, though. I'm excited about it, really excited about it. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We know, you know, the Oregon Ducks can put up a lot of points. They have some athletes over there as well. A lot of players from Texas, a lot of players from Cali. So they produce a lot of good athletes over there. So it's going to be a good one. We're going to see. But like you said, SK, I just think it's going to be tough, you know, for the Oregon Ducks. But you never know. You know, it's a national championship. Both teams.
That's why they play the game.
That's why they play the game. T, what do you think about the game? Raw Tracks, a.k.a. Tyree. What do you think?
I think it might be a good game. You know, like LK said, you know, SEC, that's the toughest conference, and I don't really think the Oregon Ducks can compete with that conference right there. You know, they play a lot of simple teams. I ain't gonna say too many simple teams, but I don't know. I don't know. Like they say, their secondary is not that good, Oregon. So Cam's got to take the ball in the air a little bit. Let's see. I want to see him throw the ball some more. Sit back, like quarterback.
Yeah, we will see. We will see. And now we're talking about, speaking of football, we're talking about these Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I know both of you guys, I don't know if you guys are true Buccaneer fans. I mean, I like the Bucs. I grew up in Tampa. So I like the Bucs. I grew up in Tampa, so I'm not – I like the Bucs. You know, I'm not going to say I'm a true fan. I mean, this is the city I grew up in.
You ain't no true fan. You give me the
city. It's the city I grew up in, and, you know, that's our team. Now, with that being said, Raw Track, since I know you love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, tell me what's going on with them. I mean, I like the team that they have around. A lot of players going down, but they lost to Detroit at home when they're in the playoffs.
At home, man. That's bad, man. We can't finish no game, man. We're supposed to beat Atlanta twice, but we couldn't finish the game, so that's our problem. We can't finish the game. At one point, we was, you know, quarterback was coming, doing, you know, good comebacks, and we'll finish, but for some reason, I don't know. Maybe the defense. Offense looked pretty good. Our running backs, 1-2 punch running back. Cadillac and Blunt, they look pretty good. Receivers look pretty good. I think it's our defense. I think the next couple of years we're going to have to draft defensive players. It's going to be good.
I think a big part of that has to do with the health of the team because, you know, Akee went down, then Gerald McCoy, the first-round pick, went down, then the other second-round pick, Price, he went down. So a lot of players that went down for the Bucs. So I don't think they had enough firepower to finish out the season the way they did because I think with those players, they would have been that much better and would have been able to finish the game yesterday against a pretty, I guess, average Detroit Lions team that you know, that's getting better but still is not, you know, an upper echelon team in the National Football League. SK, I know you like the Bucs, obviously. Well, I don't even know if you like the Bucs. I'm not going to say obviously. You went to USF, the USF Bull, and you were in Tampa. So I guess Tampa, you know, while you were in Tampa, I guess Tampa is the team that we root for. What do you think about
it? I feel like they're very young, obviously. I've actually been overly impressed with Josh Freeman, the way he's played, the way he's managed games. You know, like your boy said, I was up here at the Atlanta game when they played up here, and, I mean, you know, 4th-and-1 on the goal line, all you need to do is have your 6'6 quarterback, you know, jump over the line of scrimmage and score a touchdown to put the game away. And, you know, they run a little off-tackle play and it gets stuffed, you know, behind the line, and that was a ball game. But, yeah, I think that comes with, you know, finishing out games, I think, comes with experience and with, you know, a little more veteran leadership, which, like I said, they're very young. And, yeah, I'll never forget him. My best friend was picked up the 09 season. And, you know, one of the better DBs they had during the preseason, and they ended up, you know, being the business the NFL is, ended up cutting them. So because of that, I will never forgive the beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers for cutting my half-brother, Marshall McDuffie, and I'll go ahead and put his name out there. But, you know, he still survived and did his thing. So, but, you know, it, like I said, they got a lot of growing to do, but I've been impressed with Josh Freeman, and I think they got a bright future ahead of them, especially with their young receiving core and young skill position. So,
I think Josh Freeman's going to be a real good one in the league. He's gotten better every game, so we'll see how that goes. Like you said, they have some great receivers, good young running back. Defense has to get a little better to be able to finish games, like Raw Track said, and I think that they have the formula to be a pretty successful, you know, team in the upcoming years if they get better at the little things. Let me ask you guys this question, both of you. Who's MVP of the National Football League? I say it's a two-man race between a Michael Vick and a Tom Brady, and it's going to go down to the wire, obviously. And those could be the two teams that are playing each other in the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. I mean, there's a big possibility, obviously, with the Atlanta Falcons coming out of the NFC. We don't know. But who do you guys say will be the MVP of the National Football League if you guys have to pick? I told you my two choices is between one of those two. You guys may have a dark horse. Rochez, what you think?
It's gonna be out of those two quarterbacks. Brady, man, he's been doing his thing. Look at their record. You can tell that, you know, they're a pretty good team. They know how to come back from games, and also the Eagles just did that against the Giants. But I like Vic because all the things he's been through, and to come back and show that he's still a good player where everybody doubts him out. So that's why I picked Vic. But Brady's right there. You know, he done did it before, so he didn't let somebody else get one.
Yeah. SK, who you think?
Man, you know, I've been a Vic hater since he came to the league, since he was in college, man. But after what I saw last Sunday and that game against the game where he had, you know, 6 or 7 total touchdowns, you know, pretty much in the first half, I don't think you can give it to anybody else but Vic. And, you know, like Track said, you know, it's, you know, being everything he's been through, and I think not only he'll get, you know, the MVP, but if they have a comeback player of the year award, he should definitely get that. I mean, it really shows you what coaching is all about in the league, because he kind of was an athlete, freelance quarterback, and then I think Andy Reid got a hold of him and really settled him down and showed him how to play, be a professional quarterback, and that is, I mean, he's been incredible to watch.
Yeah.
and just, you know, incredible guy, incredible athlete, man. So
yeah, while we're speaking of Vic in Philly, did you guys see that game? Deshaun Jackson ran that quarterback. I mean, I'm sitting here watching the game. I'm thinking, okay, kick it out of bounds. They'll have one play to run, and they'll go to overtime. And they kick it to probably the best returner in the game, or one of the top two or three returners in the game.
And
they kick it to him. He takes it to the house. Win the game.
Go ahead, man.
So I'm just like, man. When I saw that,
He's a special dude, man. He is special. And he talks a lot of noise, and he walks and walks.
Yeah, yeah. 170 pounds soaking wet, too. Soaking wet, 170 out there talking noise, and he is balling. He's probably the most explosive player in the National Football League in my eyes.
He's the most explosive player, and all the stuff he does, running around by the end zone line, and Jumping and fall back and still throw touchdowns every week. He's the most explosive player in the National Football League.
He went to Cal. He went to Cal. He from Cal. Yeah, that's right. He's from Cal. Yeah, went to Long Beach. Probably he went to Cal. He was a baller out there. Cal too, with him and Jobin Best. I mean, they had some speed burners out there now. So. You know, I give the Pac-10 their respect because they do have some speed out there. I just obviously don't think it's the overall speed and talent that we have in the SEC, but they do have some speed out there in players like, you know, Reggie Bush or Jobin Best or Deshaun Jackson and players of that nature. So I'm going to give them their respect, though, Michael James at Oregon. I'm going to give them their respect, but like y'all said earlier in the show, top to bottom, talented athletes, size, speed, combination. I just obviously got to give it to the SEC, you know.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I mean, Oregon's got a lot of team speed. Kenyon Barner, that receiver Davis. I like Jeff Mayo as a receiver a lot. You know, LaMichael James. But like you said, top to bottom. I mean, I think that the SEC top to bottom is not only fast, but they're strong, powerful. And they're complete, you know what I mean? So,
Good game. I want to switch it off to this Brett Favre situation. Now, I was watching the game last night, and you guys haven't been on the show yet. This is the first time. But every week we kind of speak about Brett Favre and his situations and him retiring, not retiring, going to play, not going to play. And I truly respect the man because he's played, you know, played since 1992 and didn't miss a game. I mean that is unbelievable. But at the same time, I really felt that he should have walked away from the game this year. And last night, I think probably was going to be the last play of his career, how he got picked up, slammed to the ground, hurt his other shoulder. And, you know, it's going to probably be out for the season and probably go ahead into retirement. I just thought that he should have retired before the season. Now, Ross, what do you think about Brett Favre? Do you think he should have retired before this season, last season, or what?
Because well, you know what? You're on top of your game, man. You don't really want to never quit, retire. Once you just came off a good season, you probably think you can do it again. That's probably what was going through his mind. But he is an old man getting real old. But, you know, that experience, you know, any coach would have picked him up. I don't care if he was 48. Somebody would have tried to play with him, get him on their team because he's a good quarterback. But now we're seeing that he's an old quarterback, and it's about time to give it up. This year, I think this year he's going to put a stamp on it.
Yeah. SK, what do you
think?
Well,
I think he's going to retire this year. It was a rough year for him, and I don't think he can bounce back from this year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough for me because he's, I want to say, what, 41? Going to next year, be 42 years old. I mean, he's pushing 45, still out there playing with some 21-year-olds. So you know, the speed of the game. The speed of the game.
Fast, man. They ready to eat Brett Favre alive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because the two times he's got knocked out, they've been by, like, a second or third-year player. And I think one was a rookie the first time he got knocked out. So, I mean, they're licking their chops to get to a Hall of Fame type of quarterback like Brett Favre. So I mean, he's on everybody's hit list. So, I mean, that's how it's going to be from here on out. And hopefully he just goes home and retire. But it is tough when somebody's going to say, here goes $10, $12 million to come out here and throw a football around. I mean, who's not going to turn that down? I mean, I know I'd be 45, 50 years old if I could throw the ball like Brett Favre out there trying to throw football, you know?
Yeah.
And what do you think about it? What do you think about the Brett Favre situation and how, you know, he handles things
Well, to his defense, you know, he hadn't had much help at offensive line. I've watched a lot of their games, and he hadn't been protected at all. Receivers have had a hard time getting open, you know, with all the injuries they've had there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's got one of the best backs in the league, but, you know, if you put 8 or 9 in a box and a receiver can't get off a jam, man, you know, it's tough to, no matter what kind of quarterback you are, it's tough to have, you know, to be that productive in the game. So, yeah, you know, in hindsight, it's easy to say he should have given it up last year, but, you know, if he had had Sidney Rice and they'd had all the pieces to the puzzle and they're, you know, 11-2 right now, you know, we'd be saying different. So I can understand just from the competitiveness of being a former athlete and being just very competitive in what I do, you know, you always find stuff to fill that need and to fill that void. And he felt like, you know, he's a competitor and felt like he could do it again. So I give him props, even though it hadn't worked out for him. But, you know, it is what it is. And with the whole scandal, the whole little scandal thing, man, that definitely put a dark mark on this season for him. So, yeah, I think it's definitely time for him to get up out of there. So.
Oh, yeah, well, we're going to head to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about these Miami Heat. They lost one of the first games after their long winning streak. So we'll be back here on Keeping It Real. Chill.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
And we are back here. I'm keeping it real. Before I said, before we went to the break, I want to talk to Raw Tracks about the Miami Heat this season. They've had a pretty good season so far. They was on a big winning streak. They lost to Dallas the other day, and they stopped their winning streak. But they're kind of gelling as a team now, and every week I'm going to talk about the Heat because it was a big deal when LeBron James left Miami. I want to ask you, Raw Tracks, what do you think about those Miami Heat as far as them as a team with D-Wade and Bosch and those guys gelling together to become a pretty good team now?
Well, yeah, they're a pretty good team. They got players. Those guys played. Everybody said about them gelling together, but a lot of those guys already played together on the USA team, with the team. So they know each other. They just get their butt whooped. Something like that. But they're pretty good. I'm an Orlando fan, so I do watch the Mets. The Heat, but not as much. But they're pretty good. They're pretty good. I think they'll be there at the end. Well, not to get a title. They'll probably beat them in Boston, and Boston will probably beat them to go to the title with the Lakers. So that's how I see it.
Okay. With that being said, what you're saying, you being an Orlando Magic fan, what do you think about that big trade that went down? I know they got rid of Rashawn Lewis, brought in a couple big time players. What do you think about that trade? You think that's going to help them get to the finals?
Yeah, that trade. Only thing I didn't see in the trade was Petrus and the other big tall center. But Petrus was hurt a lot. Lewis, he was second. He had the second biggest contract in the NBA and a soft player, he wasn't really that good to me. I guess they thought he was going to be good, but he wasn't. I know you see that, too. He wasn't tough. He can shoot the ball. That's about it. But anything after that, he can't do it.
And who are you talking about?
They brought in the other players they did bring in because they're more scorers. They can get to the basket, which Rashawn Lewis couldn't do. And Vince Carter, he always hurt. And he struggled last year in the playoffs. So we needed some young players.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I think that's going to help them out a lot coming down the stretch when they're going to play at Miami or Boston. They added more size, more depth, and so that'll give them a better opportunity if they can make it and they face probably the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
What do you think about that guy, Blake Griffin, out there with the Clippers? I mean, he's something special, huh?
I haven't watched, I'm not going to lie, I haven't watched too much of Blake, but I did see some highlights, and that boy can jump.
Man, Blake, you got to watch Blake Griffin. He reminds me of a young Charles Barkley, maybe a little bit more explosive. Because, I'm talking about this boy can jump out of the gym, and he is ready to dunk on somebody.
Yeah. I've seen him dunk on a couple people on ESPN already.
He's
a good player. I haven't really seen too much of him, but I know he can jump, though. Big boy.
Yeah, I was like, man, because and obviously last year was supposed to be his rookie year, but he got hurt. He was hurt the whole year last year, but this year they're calling him a rookie again because this is actually
actual first season playing. So,
yeah,
he's been out there, he's been doing big things, and he's probably going to make the All-Star team. I just didn't know if you've actually had a chance to watch him. If you haven't, you got to check out Blake Griffin because he is something special.
Yeah, I got to see him play. You don't get to see too much of the Clippers play, unless they play the Orlando Magic or the Heat. So you don't really watch too much of them. The only time you see them going ESPN highlights or something.
Yeah. That is true. That is true. And that is our East Coast bias, and it's always been like that. Unless it's probably the Los Angeles Lakers, because you know they're always on TV all over the world. But every other team on the West Coast, they kind of shy away from them because they play, you know, 7 o'clock out there on the West Coast. It's 10 o'clock over here, and by then everybody's kind of dwindling down, getting ready to go to sleep. So.
Yeah, getting ready for work in the morning.
Yeah, getting ready for work in the morning. Now I want to get back on this Cam Newton topic since you was talking about him, talking about Chris Brown. He does like Chris Brown, though. You think he's better than Tim Tebow? I do. I think he's 10 times better.
Oh, yeah, you know he's better than Tim Tebow. You know.
Okay. I had to ask you that because all these Florida fans down here. All these Florida fans down here love some Tim Tebow, and they're like, oh, no. I'm like, man, look, to me it's not even a comparison just because of the athletic ability, the arm strength, you know, the speed. So that's my opinion. I had to ask you because me and you always beg to differ on different situations, but I guess we finally agreed on this one because I think he's 10 times better than Tebow.
Yeah, he's way better than Tebow. Well, like I said, it's a college game they're both playing. You know, Tebow was good in his system and what he was doing because he got passing championships. So, you know, you can't doubt the man. You know, and plus a lot of people like his faith, so they're gonna put him ahead of a lot of people.
Yeah. And because he has done big things, and he actually got his first career start this weekend. Passed for a touchdown, ran for a touchdown. Did you get to see any of his highlights or any of the game when they played the Oakland Raiders? Because, I mean, he showed what he could do in the National Football League. Obviously, he didn't kill them. They didn't lose. They did lose. They lost the game.
They lost.
Yeah, he had a pretty good performance, though, I mean, for his first career start. What do you think about his, you know, what did you think of the game? Because from what I saw, I think he could be a pretty successful NFL quarterback.
Like I say, he probably can. I know that they're working on his mechanics and throwing the ball, but that's his only fault with me when he was coming out of college, that he didn't like he could throw the ball that good.
Florida,
he had fast receivers. All he did is dump the ball off to him. They made a move and scored. You know, I didn't really see too many deep balls, outs, and curls and stuff like that. But I know in the NFL, he has to throw balls like that.
Oh yeah,
they working on the mechanics and getting them right.
Yeah. I think with time he'll get better. I mean, because he is a smart player, he's a good, great guy, very intelligent, can do his thing, very athletic. So I think as time goes, he'll come along and be a good NFL quarterback. It's just right now he's young, and I mean, he did make some mistakes out there that probably could have cost him the game and whatnot. But he did show some signs of being a very, very good NFL quarterback, you know, with the ability to run as well as pass. So I'm looking at that is helping Cam Newton because he did the same thing that Tim Tebow did when he was at Florida, just to the power, in my opinion. So I think when he gets to the National Football League, he'll be able to do some of those same things.
I think he's better than Vince Young. Vince Young made it. You know, I know he's way more athletic than Vince Young. I don't know about, you know, throwing the football or whatever, but I know he's way more athletic, way more bigger, and he had an athletic body. You know, so if this young there, I think Cam Newton would be all right.
Oh yeah. And that's kind of the same thing I said. They have a lot of similarities. I just think he's bigger, more athletic, better arm, played against, you know, some about the same competition, maybe even a little better competition. And I know that Coach Chizik was the defensive coordinator at Texas when Vince Young was there, and now he's the head coach at Auburn with Cam Newton. And he said Cam Newton was the best, you know, college quarterback that he's ever seen. So with that being said, he's even saying that he was better than Vince Young that he coached. So That's high praise for a coach that's seen a lot of players. So I can agree with that because the time that, you know, in our lifetime that I've been watching college football, I haven't seen too many quarterbacks, college quarterbacks, dominate the way he has. I mean, you know, we have Vic, you know, we had Charlie Ward, Tim Tebow came around, you know, Tommy Frazier did his thing at Nebraska, but for the most part, I mean, I haven't seen nothing too close to Cam Newton.
Big boys up front. Now, you got to have that to be good on offense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, them big boys we got at Auburn, now, them boys blocking up front. Now, I'm not going to take anything away from that line because, you know, our running backs have huge holes to run through. The fullbacks coming through blocking, the tight ends are blocking, the receivers are blocking downfield. So it's not him all by himself. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'm talking about the defense. Y'all got the defensive line, too. The defense.
Yeah, good defensive line. Great defensive tackle and Nick Fairley. You know, he won the Lombardi, you know, so. We got some players. Cam Newton's not the only one. I'm just saying, as far from what I've seen and the way he's dominated the game of college football in 1 year, I really haven't seen anything like it.
Yeah. I mean, I love Tyler Ward. You know, they're two different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler Ward sat in the pocket and threw the ball. You know, it wasn't no, whatever you call that offense, a pistol or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, Tyler Ward sat back there and threw the ball, and he ran second. And with Cam, he run first and throw the ball second. So,
yes and no. But like you said, the beginning of the year, he was running a lot. But as time went on and they stopped that run, he showed you that he can throw the ball like any great quarterback can. I mean, he sat in the pocket, Alabama, sat in the pocket, was throwing that ball. South Carolina, sat in the pocket, was throwing that ball. So, he can throw that football now. He can throw that football way better than a lot of people think. And I think they're going to be surprised when the nation finally gets to see him, the whole nation, not just, you know, most of it. The whole nation will get to see him against the Oregon Ducks because that's going to be the only game on. It's going to be, you know, the Super Bowl of college football. And they'll actually be able to see all his abilities, not just his running, but the way he can throw the ball as well.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right. Once you get athletic ability and all that, sometimes always win.
Yeah. That's real.
But them, like I was saying, though, Jay, them Bucks need that D line, man. That Auburn got.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, but last year they went out and drafted two defensive linemen for the first and second round pick. I mean, they picked Gerald McCoy and Price from UCLA. Those were the first two picks that we used in the draft. So we banking on those two players to be the next Warren Sapp and McFarlane or Simeon Rice's type players. I mean, that's why we picked them so high. So they're going to have to be able to stay
healthy. Price hurt, you know, so.
Yeah. They hurt. I'm just saying, as time goes on, they're going to have to be able to dominate the way a Warren Sapp did. I mean, because if you're a top five overall pick, I mean, Gerald McCoy, they expect you to be like the face of the franchise, Pro Bowl type of player. And, so far this year he came along and he's gotten better, but he got hurt. So it's like, man, so this next year, I mean, it's going to be a second year. It's going to be a big jump from the first to the second year. So he should be a lot more dominating than he was this year. But they're going to really, really need him to be dominating if they want to be a great defense. You know?
Yeah. And Price got to show up too. I hope he'd be all right. I think Price would be pretty good.
And he's a second round pick, a high second round pick too. So, with that being said, they're going to need him to be a dominating player as well. Because when you pick that high, I mean, they expect you to come in, change the franchise, you know, start, be dominating players. Obviously, it's going to take a little bit of time. Your rookie year is kind of like you know, Warren Sapp didn't have a killer rookie year. Neither did Derrick Brooks. But as time went on, those boys got better and better and became, you know, all pro Hall of Fame type players. So I think Price and Gerald McCoy will come around. They'll be all right. And the rest of the defense has to help out too with, you know, Geno Hayes and just keep his butt out of trouble and keep balling. And Quincy Black and Rude and all those boys that they have on the defense.
I think Rude will be going after this year. He's his contract up this year.
Okay, well then, they got to make a decision with Rude. And I mean, you know, they're going to do what they want to do. We're going to need a middle linebacker if he's gone. Obviously, keep Tanar.
Yeah, we'll need a middle linebacker for that.
Yeah, keep Tanar from smoking that stuff, and we'll be all right there in the secondary. You know, Akib doing his thing.
Only time will tell, man, with those Buccaneers. I mean, you never know. Yeah, we got to get the fans out there buying some tickets so we can actually watch the home games on TV, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing that messed us up, man. Can't watch no games. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you can't even watch the full game. You got to see the highlights or watch the replay. I'm like, man, we are in the city. It's supposed to be, you know, our team, and we can't even watch the games. I mean, they got to do something to promote or have people wanting and willing to go to watch them. I mean, the tickets.
Yeah, they need to give out a package, like free hot dog with a coat when you buy a ticket.
Free hot dog with a coat or some, you know, buy one, get one half off for. Tickets $20, $15, $20, not no $40 or $50. You know, I mean, they have to do something or go out into the schools and get the kids, do something to bring attention to the organization so people will want to come watch you play. I mean, we know you're the Buccaneers and you're the NFL team of the city, but, I mean, something ain't right because we don't have people going to watch them play. And it, I mean, the stadium holds, what, 60,000? It's sometimes 25,000, 30,000 people out there. It's barely half.
You buy a ticket. You can sit anywhere you want.
You can sit anywhere you want. That's what I'm saying. So I would think if you sold tickets for $10, $15, that's the extra however much, that's the extra money that you didn't have for the people that's not going in there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you want to take a little boy or a little girl, you know, to the game, say, okay, to you, say, okay, well, I'm going to give, you know, here's $10 for you. I'm, you know, $10 for my ticket, $10 for Raw ticket, $10 for his little boy, and $10 for his little girl. You four people go for the $40. That's $40 that you didn't have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So I don't know what they're doing with that, man. I mean,
food.
Yeah. Like you said, hot dog and a Coke. Get in, get a hot dog and a Coke for the free. So I mean, we'll see about that. I mean, the blackout rules are kind of crazy in the NFL as well. There's a lot of crazy rules in the NFL. I mean, you being a DB, what do you think about these illegal hits? I mean, you know, because, you know, growing up.
Oh, man, it's tough. It's tough, man, because I've seen a hit. When it was, what game that was, man? I just seen somebody get hit. Was it one of these games? I don't know what team, who it was. Was it the Patriots? Where the Patriots hit, was sent to hit. So, yeah, it was the Patriots. They said it was a legal hit or something like that. He got extra yards. But I think, I mean, it wasn't with the helmet. You know what I'm talking about?
Mayweather. Brandon Mayweather. I think it was Mayweather for the New England Patriots. He hit him, and it wasn't an illegal hit.
Yeah, he hit him. They said his head got in there, but to me, it was like it was his shoulder.
It was his shoulder, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And they throw these flags, and then they find these boys $15,000, $20,000 for something that they've been tackling all their life. I just don't agree with that, man. I mean, they take the money out of
what happens, but the boys drop. Were they playing the Packers or somebody?
I mean, if you're going to hit somebody and you know it's definitely illegal, then yes, you can find them to teach them a lesson. But if it's a tick for tack, oh, that might have been a hit, that might have been – nah, you can't do it like that because you're just giving – you're just taking these men money away, man. So I totally –
and these boys don't want to hit. They don't even want to make the hit. The whole point is to make the receiver drop the ball.
Exactly. And people could lose their jobs like that because, I mean, if you're supposed to be detaching the receiver from the football – And you're scared of a way to not hit him so you don't get fined, and he catches the ball and runs for a touchdown, then you are at fault, and that's going to make you look bad and have an opportunity to lose your job. And that's really going to take all the money out of your family's mouth because you're not even going to have any money to be fined for. So I just totally don't agree with the way that they do it. They need to have a committee. I think Roger Goodell may be the only one that that does it, that, you know, that makes a decision or whatnot. They need to have a committee of people to do it. But, I mean, that's the way the NFL does. And, you know, we don't agree with the way the NFL does a lot of things these days.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know how them boys will get past that. Sometimes it'll be a legal hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we all keeping it real.
I want to thank my special guest, SK, and Raw Tracks for being on Keeping It Real. We'll be back next week, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, on Keeping It Real. Chill.
Thanks for listening this week. Tune in to Keeping It Real with Jerris McIntyre again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Until then, keep it real, real, real. Keep it real.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.